Today's sermon is the second in our Lenten preaching series called Let Love Rise. This series is inspired by Jesus' own use of the image of bread to describe himself. And it's inviting us to explore how the process of bread making connects with the spiritual preparation of Lent. We're reflecting together on how God is planting, harvesting, milling, mixing, and rising in our lives and in the world. Last week, we started with the parable of the sower and the reminder that we are called to do as God does. We are called to sow seeds of love and justice in the world with abandon, trusting that God's kingdom can take root in people and in places we might never imagine. This week, we turn to the harvest. Our scripture reading today comes from the book of Exodus, chapter 16. It's helpful to remember that just a couple chapters earlier, in chapter 14, we find the Israelites escaping from slavery in Egypt. God miraculously parts the waters of the Red Sea and leads the Israelites to freedom. Chapter 15 starts with a song of celebration, offering thanks and praise to God for all that God has done. But then the tone starts to shift. The Israelites begin their journey into the wilderness, and the grumbling begins. First, the Israelites complain because the only water they can find in the desert is too bitter to drink. So Moses cries out to God, and God makes the water sweet. The Israelites set out again, and again they complain. This time they're hungry. So God provides bread and meat, manna, and quail. And that's the story we're going to hear today. We're going to hear how God shows up in ways we might never expect to make sure we have enough of what we need for our journeys of faith. So listen now for the word of God in Exodus chapter 16, verses 2 through 21. The whole congregation of the Israelites complained against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. The Israelites said to them, "If only we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the flesh pots and ate our fill of bread. For you have brought us out into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger." Then the Lord said to Moses, "I am going to rain bread from heaven for you, and each day the people shall go out and gather enough for that day. In that way I will test them, whether they will follow my instruction or not. On the sixth day, when they prepare what they bring in, it will be twice as much as they gather on other days." So Moses and Aaron said to all the Israelites, "In the evening you shall know that it was the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt. And in the morning you shall see the glory of the Lord, because he has heard your complaining against the Lord. For what are we that you complain against us?" And Moses said, "When the Lord gives you meat to eat in the evening and your fill of bread in the morning, because the Lord has heard the complaining that you utter against him, what are we? Your complaining is not against us, but against the Lord." Then Moses said to Aaron, "Say to the whole congregation of the Israelites, draw near to the Lord, for he has heard your complaining." And as Aaron spoke to the whole congregation of the Israelites, they looked toward the wilderness, and the glory of the Lord appeared in the cloud. The Lord spoke to Moses and said, "I have heard the complaining of the Israelites. Say to them, at twilight you shall eat meat, and in the morning you shall have your fill of bread. Then you shall know that I am the Lord your God." In the evening, quails came up and covered the camp, and in the morning there was a layer of dew around the camp, When the layer of dew lifted, there on the surface of the wilderness was a fine, flaky substance, as fine as frost on the ground. When the Israelites saw it, they said to one another, "What is it?" For they did not know what it was. Moses said to them, "It is the bread that the Lord has given you to eat. This is what the Lord has commanded. Gather as much of it as each of you needs, an omer to a person according to the number of persons, all providing for those in their own tents." The Israelites did so, some gathering more, some less. But when they measured it with an omer, those who gathered much had nothing over, and those who gathered little had no shortage. They gathered as much as each of them needed. And Moses said to them, "Let no one leave any of it over until the morning." But they did not listen to Moses. Some left part of it until morning, and it bred worms and became foul. And Moses was angry with them. Morning by morning, they gathered it, as much as each needed. But when the sun grew hot, it melted. Here ends the reading. For the word of God in Scripture, for the word of God among us, and for the word of God within us. Thanks be to God. Will you please join with me in a spirit of prayer? May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God, for you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Have any of you heard of the unvirtuous Abby? Maybe you've seen their page on Facebook or their posts on Twitter. The Unvirtuous Abbey is a virtual community of so-called monks who minister to people through social media. They use humor and sarcasm to address real-life issues of faith and culture. Unvirtuous Abbey was first born because the creative minds behind the project noticed that most religious posts on social media were quite serious. And they wanted to present a different side of Christianity, a side that could look at faith from a more lighthearted perspective. If you're up for some irreverent humor, you can easily search for them on Facebook. But if you're watching online, don't do that now. Wait until the end of the service. Now, many Fridays on the Unvirtuous Abbey Facebook page, they have a tradition of opening a virtual confessional for what they call petty sins. This is not a place to bring the deep and true confessions of a repentant heart. This confessional is for things like this. "I confess that instead of helping my husband and daughter this morning, I'm drinking coffee and ignoring them completely. Or forgive me for the time when I was too tired for sixth grade math, so I told my daughter it was important she learn to advocate for herself by asking her teacher for help. Or I confess that at the dog park, I like some of the dogs more than I like the people." And who can relate to this one? "I confess that I am wishing broken phone screens for everyone who listens to videos or games without headphones in public." Or how about this one? "Forgive me, merciful monks, for I am greedy. I can't help wanting more of everything, and I mean everything, just for myself. And it's Lent to boot." Wanting more of everything. The Israelites certainly knew something about that. As the Israelites make their way from Egypt to the Promised Land, it seems like they are never quite satisfied with what they have. They get their freedom, but that's not enough. The Israelites cross the Red Sea with the promise of liberation and new life in hand, but then they're confronted with the realities of hunger and thirst. First, at Marah, there is water, but the Israelites find they can't drink it because it is too bitter. So they ask for more of God, and God shows up for them, making the water sweet. Then the Israelites come to a place called Sin, and they discover there's no food to eat. That's the story we heard today. We heard how the Israelites asked for even more of God, and yet again, God showed up for them, covering the land with manna and with quail. Now, there are a few things I want us to notice about what happened when God provided for the Israelites through the miracle of the manna. Remember first that the manna appeared on the surface of the ground in the morning. And when the Israelites first came out of their tents and saw this fine, flaky substance on the ground, they saw it and said to one another, "What is it?" The word manna in Hebrew literally means, "What is it?" I kind of love that God provided for the Israelites this abundant harvest of manna, and the Israelites had no idea what it was. There's something so honest about that. God showed up for the Israelites in an extraordinary way, but they couldn't understand what was going on. God was doing something new, and it took them a little time to figure out what it was. Now, after Moses explained to the Israelites that that flaky substance on the ground, that was actually bread from heaven, he gave them these instructions. "Gather as much of it as each of you needs, an omer to a person, all providing for those in their own tents." So that's exactly what they did. Each tent sent someone out to gather enough manna for their household. Some people gathered more, some less. And when they measured out the harvest, they discovered that each household had exactly what they needed, an omer to a person. God gave them enough, just enough, to get them through the day. But then here's the kicker. Some of the Israelites tried to save their manna from one day to the next. They were nervous that God wasn't going to keep showing up for them. They were worried that one day they would wake up and the manna wouldn't be there on the ground anymore. They were anxious because they wanted more than just enough. So they tried to outsmart the system. They tried to take their future into their own hands. They tried to save some of their manna from one day to the next. But when they woke up the next morning, they discovered it had spoiled. That's how they learned that faith was about trusting God would keep showing up for them, giving them enough of what they needed for each day. How often are we like the Israelites? How often do we want more than just enough? How often do we try to take our own future into our own hands? Of course, sometimes this yearning for more is about wanting more money, more power, more status, more things. But often this yearning is about our faith as well. How often do we want God to give us a clear picture of what our life is going to look like a year from now, or 5 years from now, or 10 years from now, instead of taking our journeys one day at a time? Part of what it means to live a life of faith is to trust that God will give us enough of what we need to face each day, one at a time. God will give us enough patience, enough compassion, enough hope, enough joy, enough support, enough love to get through whatever might come our way. And it's a radical act of faith to trust that God will keep doing this, that God will keep showing up for us over and over again. So this Lent, maybe it's time to start trusting in enough. Maybe it's time to trust that God really will keep showing up for us. Maybe it's time to pray each morning that God will provide us just enough of what we need to get through each day. Maybe it's time to realize that trusting in just enough and just enough and just enough day after day after day, that kind of trust ends up producing a harvest of faith that is more abundant than we could ever imagine. Amen. And now, friends, we will sing our way to the table with our communion hymn, which is One Bread, One Body. If you're here in the sanctuary, you will find that on an insert in your hymnal. And if you're worshiping from home, this is also a perfect time to go and grab something to eat and something to drink so that you can be ready to share communion with us. And if you've already done that, then the words to the hymn are dropping into the comments so that you can sing right along with us.